God has made His rest available to you and to me. And outside of that rest, there's fear. Outside of that rest is turmoil and constant confusion. And He's saying, if we don't enter into it, there's fear there.
How do you escape the turmoil, confusion, and ever-present stress of this world? Is it possible to walk free of troubles that constantly contend for your time? Today, Jeremy Pearson reveals the rest God has for you, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome again to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Pearson. And it has been a real thrill all last week and yesterday and the rest of this week to be a part of these great broadcasts with you. Thank you, Mimi and Pawpaw. Now, that's Mimi and Pawpaw to me. To you, it's probably Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, but I'm so thankful to them. I'm thankful for the opportunity to do these broadcasts, but you know what? I'm just thankful not only to them, I'm thankful for them. I know many of you are too, but let me just voice that. I am thankful for them. They've not only been wonderful grandparents and wonderful people to grow up around, but they're wonderful people to watch. I believe the Lord has demonstrated Himself through them, and they have been great examples. For a young man and his wife in ministry, we have had wonderful examples to watch. And I know many of you in ministry have done the same thing. And hey, listen, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, they'll be the first to tell you, we haven't always done it right. There's things we miss, but you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate their honesty. I appreciate their transparency. And it's been such a blessing to me to hear them say, this is what produced in our lives. This is how the Lord demonstrated Himself to us. And I've heard Him preach it too. This is where I blew it. This is where I missed it. And when I hear those kinds of things, you know what I do? I see the way they applied it and saw how it worked. And I see that it worked because it was revelation to them. So when I do that, I'm not just trying to copy them. I am seeking that same spirit of revelation because it works when it's revelation. You understand what I mean? But at the same time, when I hear my grandfather say things like, you know what, I did it like this for so long and it about wore me out, or this didn't work. You know what I do as a young man? My ears perk up a little bit and I say, okay, if he's bold enough to tell me not only where he did it right, but bold enough to tell me where he missed it, he's saying that so I don't have to miss it. He's demonstrating that so that I don't have to make a mistake that he made or that somebody else made. And I so appreciate that about them. And as a matter of fact, that has so much to do with what we've been talking about over the last several days, all last week and yesterday. We've been talking about living in this place called rest. Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor, all you who are heavy laden, burdened down, I will give you rest. You've been burned out by religion. You've been burned out by trying to measure up and trying to perform before God so that, oh, maybe He'll heal me this time. Hey, that doesn't work, man. Here's what works. You resting in the finished work of Jesus. And when Jesus said that, that was the beginning of a new development, the beginning of a new era, the day of grace. Living in the day of grace. And we've been talking about living in that grace, living in that rest. And we're now getting into the keys to entering into that. But if there's one thing I've heard my grandfather say over the course of, well, my whole life, I mean, he's been in ministry longer than I've been alive. You know, I just turned 30 last year and he's been at it 40 some odd years now. And if there's one thing that I've heard him say, he said, you know, I didn't take enough time to rest. There were times in this ministry where he was preaching 8 days a week. Is that possible? He managed. He figured it out. He squeezed in, you know, a few extra hours a day. And if he wasn't preaching, he was studying to preach. And if he wasn't studying to preach, he was flying somewhere to preach. And it was just this constant going and going. And he's told me personally, I've heard him say it publicly, that it about wore him out. It wore his physical body down. It wore his soul down. And that kind of thing becomes stress on a marriage. It can become stress on a relationship. And when I hear him say those kinds of things, and now I'm watching him in this year of ministry, 43, something like that. As I'm watching him now, he's perfected that, and I'm watching him take that rest. I'm watching him go and preach and give everything he's got, but I see him take time away and rebuild. That's encouraging to me. That's an example to me. But why do I need to wait 40 years before I start doing that? Why don't I start now? Why don't you start now? Lord, you call me away to preach, I'll do it. You call me away to study, you call me away, you want me to travel to Africa, I'll go. Australia, I'll go. Anywhere you want me to go, we're there. But we're also sensitive to the leading of the Spirit of God when He says, all right, Jeremy, I want you to take you and your wife, who is at this moment in time, 7 full months, now into the 8 month of pregnancy. By the time you watch these broadcasts, man, I'm going to be a daddy with this little boy. But you better believe that I can hear the voice of the Lord say, Jeremy, it's time for you to go minister to your wife. It's time for you to minister to your son. It's time for the three of you to go away and get some rest and rebuild and let me talk to you. That is as much the leadership of the Holy Spirit as, Jeremy, get on a plane. There's a place for you and Sarah to go preach. Hey, I'm learning to see those. It's just all about being led by the Spirit. And so when we look at these things, we are endeavoring to not only recognize that there is a place of rest for us to live in, but there are keys to entering into it. You don't need me to tell you that sometimes one of the hardest things in this life to do is slow down, much less stop. But there comes a time when you must slow down. There is a time in everybody's life where it comes time to stop the insanity, the madness, the constant coming and going. And as a husband, as a leader in your home, as husband and wife team, you guys need to set an example and say, you know what, family? We've been going in 1,001 directions, and you've got kids that are playing every sport imaginable. They're involved in every possible thing in school. And you know what? That may be good, but I just challenge you, Lord, which of these things do you want us in? Because if it's not all of them, He may want your son playing this, but not that. Because His grace is here, but not there. Do you understand what I mean? These are very practical things. These are very practical ways to walk it out. And it's a wonderful way to set an example before your kids. You get them around a table just like this, and you say, all right, guys, you guys got 100 things going here. Mommy and Daddy prayed about it. You get to pick 2 each. What now don't just pick. You go away and you pray. And I want you to pray and you say, Father God, show me what you want me doing. He's saying, a kid can do this? Absolutely a kid can do this. You train a child up in this, and soon and very soon, he'll be more dependent on the leadership of the Holy Spirit than he is on you. Now, I know that may sound daunting to somebody, but that's actually what you want. You want a child that can learn to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. Now look, they're not going to haul off and just leave you and abandon you. You don't have to be afraid of that. What I'm telling you to do is empower your child, empower your family to hear the voice of the Spirit as He leads them to go and do, and as He leads you all as a family to take your rest. But that outward rest I'm referring to does not happen until there's an inward rest. There are people that can't take on one task without absolutely losing their mind and pulling the hair out of their head. Why? Because there's no inward rest. You and I are living in a day and age where the Lord has put some things on our plate. He's assigned you. He's assigned me. He's assigned this ministry to a number of different things. But you know what? There will be no accomplishment of any of them until we know how to rest on the inside. What rest am I talking about? Hebrews chapter 4 says, those who have believed enter into His rest. So if you've got a bunch of different assignments before you that the Lord has put there, your place of rest believes that not only has He called you to it, He's equipped you for it. That is grace. In the Old Testament and under an old picture, under an old law, it was you do this and you had to depend on your own arm and strength to do it. But under this New Testament, under this new relationship and covenant with Jesus, we depend on His ability in us to do what He's called us to do. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to talk about entering into this rest. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, whose rest? His rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. He's saying this is something we need to be watchful over here. God has made His rest available to you and to me. And outside of that rest, there's fear. Outside of that rest is turmoil and constant confusion. And he's saying, if we don't enter into it, there's fear there. But in verse 2, it says, indeed, the gospel was preached to us. Who is us? Us is New Testament people. Us is people who've heard the message of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Us is people who have heard the message of the cross, death, hell, and resurrection. That gospel's been preached to us, but he's saying the gospel was also preached to them. Who them? Them is the children of Israel that came out of the land of Egypt in the book of Exodus. They heard the good news. That's what gospel means, good news. They had been living under slavery and bondage and under the rule of another nation for generations and generations, and now the good news was being preached. What good news? Hey, you're free. There's good news. You've been in bondage. You've been a slave. Good news. Now you can live at rest. That is not only good news, that's the best news. You have had no rest for 400 years. Now there's a place, it's a promised land, it's Canaan land, it belongs to you, it's a promise of God. What have we already learned here? Any gift from God to you is grace. God was gracing, even in the Old Testament, He was gracing the promised land to the children of Israel. But notice this, that good news did not profit them. They heard it. It was preached to them, but it didn't do any good. Why not? Because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, all of these things in the Old Testament are a type and a shadow of the day that we're living in now. So if the grace of Canaan land, if I can call it that, that gift of rest, the land of rest, that had been preached to them, but it didn't profit them, and so many of them didn't receive it. Why? Because they didn't mix it with faith. They didn't believe it when they heard it. Fast forward to the day we're living in now. All grace has been made available to you through Jesus. Scripture says that He wants all grace to abound towards you. But how do we live in grace? We are saved by grace through faith. Everything that Jesus has made available to you, yes, your salvation, yes, the forgiveness of your sins, but in addition to all of that, or I should say included in all of that, is the healing of your body, living in divine health, healed and whole every day of your life, victory over sin, sickness, and disease, all of that is grace. God, who is love, gave you Jesus, who is grace. But how do you receive it? By faith. And we're talking about this resting side of faith. This chair wants to supply me with rest. This chair is built and designed to supply me with a place to sit down and rest. But unless I believe this chair's going to hold me up, I'll never take my place. I could stand right there and march circles around this table, worried and confused and wondering, is this thing going to hold me up? But until I actually look at it and say, you know what? That chair will hold me. And I take my rest. Now I've put my faith, so to speak, in this chair, in the grace that it is trying to offer me. I know this is a silly example, but I hope you see it. Everything that Jesus has offered, everything that God, who is love, has offered through Jesus, who is grace, has been made available to you, but it can only be received by faith, by that resting side of faith. Now, some people hear that word faith and they think, okay, well, here's what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to pray long and pray hard and confess loud and 1,000 times a day. And listen, there's nothing wrong with any of those things unless your faith is in your faith. Unless your faith is in your confession rather than your faith being in Jesus and your confession born out of that. You understand what I'm saying? That confession comes out of this place of rest. Jesus has supplied me with the healing of my body, and now I thank You for it, Lord. That's faith. I talked to you months ago about the conversation between grace and faith. Grace said, you're forgiven. Your faith said, thank you. I receive that. Do Do you see how calm that is? Do you see how peaceful that is? You don't have to march circles around a table saying, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven, I'm forgiven. Am I? No, you just say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Faith very simply says, thank you. Now, if you need to confess, to me, that confession is all a part of the renewing of the mind. And when those thoughts and temptations come that say, no, you're not forgiven because you don't feel it. Did you see what you did? There's no way he could forgive you for that. Then you begin to confess out of this place of rest. No, I am forgiven. The blood of Jesus covers me. And if you have to say that 1,000 times a day, say it 1,000 times a day in order to drown out that temptation, in order to drown out that lie of the devil that says, no, you're not. You let that voice of faith and rest in God rise up big and strong and you say, yes, I am in Jesus' name. I am forgiven. I am healed. I am born again. I am delivered. What are you doing? You're confessing from your place of rest. And all of this is grace that's been given to you, and you have laid a hold of it. You've appropriated it, the Bible says. You've appropriated it by your faith in Him. How crucial is this? Well, when it wasn't mixed with faith in the lives of these Hebrew children, they didn't get to go in. When it wasn't mixed with faith, they were not allowed to enter into that place of rest. We're talking about living in that place. If you skip down to verse 6, well, let's read verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. Remember we talked about that seventh day, that day of creation where God sanctified it, He blessed it, and it was a day when all the work was finished. Now we're talking about it again. Why? Because that was a type of the day we're living in right now. This is good news. You need to get a hold of this. He spoke this way in a certain place of the seventh day. It says, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. Verse 5, and again, in this place they shall not enter my rest. That was verse 5. Verse 6 says, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter in because of disobedience. Other translations say, because of unbelief. You could translate that word unbelief as this. They were non-persuasible. Did you know you can come to a place in your life where you hear the Word of God and you just think, no, it can't be. I've just seen it too many times and it's just not true. You can come to the place where that's your first reaction, and that is being non-persuasible. And for those who are non-persuasible, they will not enter into this place of rest. That unbelief is trying to keep you out of that rest. Don't be that way. Don't be non-persuasible. Don't be so hard-headed and so stubborn that every time you hear a promise from the Word, you go, I don't know. Sounds a little too good to be true. It is so good that it is true. Don't be non-persuasible. Why is that so crucial? Because it's keeping you out of that place of rest. There are people that will deny the truth about something simply because they don't understand how that could be so. To me, that is the epitome of arrogance. That is the epitome of pride to say, well, that can't be because I just don't understand how that could possibly be. Listen, just because you don't get it doesn't mean it's not true. I got in a car and drove to this studio today. I don't know about all the inner workings of that car. Listen, all I know, you put some gas in it, you keep the oil fresh in it, it's gonna go, all right? I rest in that. Now, there's a lot more to it than that that I don't know about, but it doesn't keep me from enjoying it. I'm not non-persuasible. You understand what I mean? How do I know if I'm in faith? All of this is about this resting side of faith, and there's people that want to know, I'm reading the Word and I'm making my confessions, but how do I really know I'm in faith? You want to know one of the major characteristics of somebody who's in faith? It's somebody who's at rest. Somebody who can very calmly and under, Scripture calls it being fully persuaded. You remember Abraham? The Scripture in Romans 4, I believe, says that he was fully persuaded. That place where you come and you look at sickness, you look at disease and you say, no, I am fully persuaded that by His stripes I am healed, because by His stripes I was healed. Over. Finished work. Completed. Done. The work's been done. Now all I do is rest in it. you know what, people don't like this. There's something in the flesh that kind of gravitates and slides towards, well, I have this because I prayed hard for it, or I have this because I believed God for it. You know, I did this. You need to understand what believing really means. Some weeks ago, I was preaching in a church out of town and preached along some of these same lines about being a believer and not a doubter. And afterwards, there's many people that came up to us and they were blessed by it. But this one guy came up to me and he started the conversation with this. Something in your message disturbs me. I don't agree with something in there. So, okay, let's hear it. What is it? And he went on to talk about, he said, you know, you said we got to be believers, but even the devil's a believer. It's not enough just to be a believer. He said, you got to be a doer of the word. And you know what? Hey, man, I know that scripture too, okay? But for somebody that says to me it's not enough to be a believer, you know what that translates to? That means you don't know what it actually means to be a believer. Because being a believer is not just accepting something in your mind or in your brain. Being a believer in the Word of God is somebody that lets that conviction, that fully persuadedness on the inside, come out in what they do. What you believe is supposed to give life and give birth to what you do, not the other way around. You're not working for this thing. What you set your hand to, you do that because you believe. I do the Word of God because I believe the Word of God. They're not two separate things. They're two sides of the same thing. The confession of your mouth is not separate from what you believe in your heart. Scripture says that that's how we're born again. They're not two separate things. They're just two sides of the same thing. Your confession is supposed to come out of what you believe. And what you believe is, I have been seated with Jesus and I now live in this place called rest. Let me show you this. Now, I'm going to end with this scripture today because I believe this is where we're going to begin tomorrow. Go to John chapter 6. This whole passage in John 6 is what has got me so excited. It is changing the way I think. It's changing the way I approach the Word, and it has been a blessing to me. And I believe it will be to you too. In John chapter 6, we'll get into greater detail about it in the coming days, but there were people that had gathered to Jesus and they asked him this. In verse 28, they said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" They had seen miracles and they said, "We want to do that. We want to work this. We want to set our hand to this. We want to see this same glory that you see." And Jesus answered and said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him who He sent." That's your work. That's my work. Now, pride wants to say, no, we gotta get in here and do this and do this and do this and do this. Here's what you have to do. You must believe. And whatever comes out of that believing, then you set your hand to that. I'm not giving you a big long list of things, a big checklist, 12 steps to that and 30 steps to this. No, I'm giving you a checklist of one. Be a believer. That's your foundation. That's where everything you do comes out of that. Jesus said it. Here's the work that's left for you to do. Be a believer. You mean I don't have to do this and I don't have to do that and religion says I got to do this? This is what you have to do. Be a believer. A believer in what? A believer in Him, in the finished work, in the promise of the Word of God. That's where we're headed tomorrow, and it's going to be a blessing to you. I'm out of time, but don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family. George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. For more information, go to kcm.org. Have you looked at your schedule lately? Pretty busy, right? But what about God? There is a place in God where you can come away and find true rest. Experience God's Rest is a package of two practical teaching series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland designed to help you enter into that place of rest. Don't Stress Out, Trust God by Kenneth Copeland tells you how to take anxiety and worry out of your life. God is willing and able to take care of you. Learn to trust Him and start living His way, free of stress. God can turn it around by Gloria Copeland gives you confidence in God's ability. He can change your circumstances and fix whatever situation you're facing. See yourself through His eyes and change the direction of your life. Experience God's rest. This package will take you from feeling stressed out to being at peace and resting in God. The Experience God's Rest package is being offered to you at a special 50% savings. Now just $20 for both CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. Order the Experience God's Rest package and learn the importance of making rest a priority in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit us at kcm.org.
You've been quick to identify the problem. You've been quick to identify the pressure, if it's financial pressure or a problem with your children and your family or bad health or a bad report about your health. We've been quick to identify that, but let's be even more quick to identify the answer. Let's be even quicker to go to the Word of God and find out that He's got an answer and He's got victory. That's why we've put together this package for you. God Can Turn It Around, CD series by Gloria Copeland. And Don't Stress Out, Trust God is by Kenneth Copeland. And this is a package that we've put together and want to get to you because these things, just put them alongside studying the Word and let the Lord speak to you out of it. Your answer's in here. There is a spirit of faith that's in you, but it must rise up out of you. And you declare your trust in Him and you'll begin to see these things turn around. Order your package today. I know it's going to be a blessing to you. Hey, let me tell you about Victory Long Beach, July 8th through the 10th in Long Beach, California. George and Terry Pearson's, or some of us know them, Mom and Dad, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, Sarah and I will be there. And there is a message in us that we're going to bring that's going to be encouraging to you, uplifting to you. Now I'm going to give it away right here. Here's the message. Have faith in God. That is the message. So if you don't want to hear something about faith, don't come. But if you want to get your faith built and strengthened in Him, be a part of this meeting. It's going to be a blessing to you. For more information about this meeting and other things going on at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, you can visit us at kcm.org. Make sure you're checking the website every now and then. We're posting things all the time. New articles and new videos for you to look at. It's a great way to stay connected with this ministry. Thanks so much for being a part of this broadcast. More to come tomorrow. Living in a place called rest. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Be sure to join Stephen Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For all the information on Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, go to our website at kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
And if grace has said you're forgiven, then the only appropriate response is, thank you, Lord, I received your forgiveness. If grace has said you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, then the only appropriate response is faith that says, yes, Lord, I believe that and I receive that.